Last night, Centennial Elementary School held an annual fundraiser here at the church. There was the sounds of a live auctioneer echoing off the walls in here, and downstairs the theme was prom. I wanted them to leave all the crepe paper up because it was just tacky and beautiful and wonderful. But apparently they didn't want to have to come back today to clean up, so they're like, no, we're doing it all at once. But it was fun to have guests with us in our space who, it's always neat, people hadn't been here, they're like, this is so fun, it's great that you open your space to the community. I'm like, wait, you see the garage. But they're talking about things, and it's always neat to watch. We've never been in here. It is just such a beautiful space. And I said, yeah, it is. And it's always neat to share these conversations about the space that we call home. For nearly 100 years, our stained glass windows have been illuminating stories of faith, both inside and outside of our building. Each picture, every symbol reflective of our Christian heritage and theology. And it's not just the big ones that we might talk about, like these beautiful lilies. You'll see them in the crests here and over here. The lily's a beautiful reminder of new life, the promise of Easter. In fact, something many of the gardens have begun to show as well. Maybe you have a few things peeking through also. Then there's those little adornments like the lilies, or like up here at the top crest, the image of the Bible reminding us of the role of Scripture in illuminating life for us. The wisdom carried within our Scriptures that, if we will read and discuss and question it, can shape who we are as people. Or up here, this image of the young boy Jesus. Now, I know he's pretty white, biblical scholarship at the time, not the greatest thing, but we have this young boy, Jesus, reminding us of Christ's humanity, right? Not just some figure that we see in a certain way, but someone who's growing and learning and not yet who he is going to be, reminding us of the process that we are all in. And then there's a couple symbols. High atop the West Tower, facing the mountains, glowing as the sunset hits them, are two of the more theologically grounded symbols that our windows carry. You see them in the little shadow boxes. Here we have the Alpha Omega, and we have Christ the King. Let me step out of the way. I know they're small. Maybe after church you come check it out. But these beautiful windows with their little emblems that just glow and share these historical symbols of the Alpha Omega and Christ the King. And while we could easily define the historic understanding of the art that these symbols and their theological meanings carry, our Lenten journey invites us not just to look at the windows, but to think about how the wisdom of the windows, the scriptures and ideas that they carry, offer us insight into how we might share the light within. The question for us today is how these very traditional religious elements allow us to reclaim and restore a light and life that is worthy of our souls. So let's start at the beginning. A very good place to start. Except there really isn't a beginning. This Alpha Omega symbol is derived from the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet, and it symbolizes the infinite paradox of God as both beginning and end. At some point in our linear experiencing of time, our brains stumble upon a very profound yet simple question. It's one that any time I read Genesis to my son, he likes to ask, okay, but what was before God? Well, no, this is where it starts. It starts with, yes, but what was before God? I have a master's of divinity. I can handle this. I don't know. At some point, our little linear brains encounter this what was before question. I mean, trying to order things in life, well, what was before that? What was before that? It's a beautiful way to learn. We start to encounter and see progress and change, and skipping over that whole chicken and egg debacle, there's almost always an answer to what was before. Until you ask it while reading the book of Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Our scriptures open with a clear statement on the question, what was before the world? Before the world was God. But if you go that next step, what was before God? Well, that's where your calculator would just show a little E instead of a number. That's where your phone would say, this app has unexpectedly quit. This is where Dad says, go ask your mom. There's not an answer here. The concept of infinity is not easily discussed. It's too big. It's too complicated. It's too irrational. And that's where I find hope. Too big, too complicated, too irrational. These phrases describe to me how many of us can feel about the difficulties that we face in life every day. We have all had a moment, and maybe you're living it right now, where things are just too big or too complicated or too irrational. That can be what leaves us feeling like we're in the dark sometimes. And when the world feels dark, it's often because of an encounter with such an experience that's just too big or complicated or irrational. What can be possible in those moments? What could be before any of that? I tell you, if God wasn't bigger, if God wasn't more complex, if God wasn't further beyond our understanding, God would be overcome by those darkness and difficulties too. But as both beginning and end, standing outside of time and yet fully within every moment, being beyond our ability to comprehend, God is not overcome. The reason the prologue of John can offer those beautifully poetic words that the light shines in the darkness and the darkness did not overcome it, the reason that is true is because the light is without end, and in fact, the light is even without beginning. It just is. That light, that infinite presence was revealed in a very finite, growing up human way in the body and life of Jesus. Our invitation to restore and reclaim our light derives its inspiration from the life of Jesus. In the life of Jesus, we can find restoration and reclamation in everything he does. Now, restoration is a little bit easier to identify. Oh, look, he healed someone. Oh, look, someone's relationship, someone's body, someone's soul. Jesus was restoring things all the time, restoring hope and life to everyone he encountered. But Jesus also spent a lot of time reclaiming. Jesus was reclaiming a lot of ideas, identities, and understandings that had been taken from what God intended and turned into, well, religion. Jesus was reclaiming them to something more. One such idea that Jesus spent a lifetime reclaiming was the concept of what it meant to be king. Jesus had a lifelong struggle with the concept of king. This is one of those moments where Advent and Lent actually overlap. Preparing for Christmas and preparing for Easter both require us to look at the assumptions and expectations that were and are held for Jesus. Before he was even born, Jesus was expected to be the King of Kings. As he hung dying, the sign above his head read, King of the Jews. You know, there's an especially telling moment in the Gospel of John that's easy to overlook since it comes right after the feeding of the 5,000. I tell you, the big miracles in the Bible contain some of the most interesting and telling little moments around the edges. And sometimes we look at the big thing and we forget to look at the little moments right before or right after. And I tell you, don't let the feeding of the 5,000 fool you. They were only counting men. So Jesus really fed 15,000 to 20,000 people. And let me tell you, folks were impressed. They were so impressed, the scripture tells us this, heading out of the story. When the people saw that he had done a miraculous sign, they said, "This is truly the prophet who is coming into the world." Jesus understood that they were about to come and force him to be their king. So he took refuge, ran away once again alone on a mountain. The crowd of people were literally about to come and force him to be king. So he ran away. He could not be the kind of king that they wanted. He had to reclaim the concept of being Christ the King first. Kings and lords, these are positions of power and control and status in which everyone else is beneath. They are people who controlled the lives, resources, and possibility of everyone around them. Lords and kings, especially in the time and place of Jesus, used their positions to benefit a really small circle of people and themselves. And I think that's why the crowd wanted Jesus to be their king. They thought that they would be the small group of people that he would benefit. Let's pick this guy to be the king because he's good to us. Jesus didn't see the world this way. For Jesus, the first would be last and the last would be first. Jesus knew that the role of one with power was to care for those without it, to provide and to nurture. And until others saw it this way, Jesus couldn't be king, or at least he couldn't be the king they wanted him to be. The world had and still has expectations of what power looks like. And those who don't meet those expectations don't have power. Jesus knew that his life and death would be necessary to reclaim understandings of what power was all about. This is Jesus telling story after story of God's intentional effort to find the lost and lift up the lowly. This is why Jesus would dine with tax collectors, stand up for victims of sexist double standards, and let children interrupt an adults-only world. This is why when we get to Holy Week, preparing for Easter, we will see Jesus wash feet and invite those who lead to serve. And this is why Jesus' response of, "You say I am," is the only thing he can say when people persecuting him say, "Aren't you the King of the Jews?" "You say I am." It was the only appropriate response, since they were asking about a definition that he didn't subscribe to. Jesus could not be made the king until the world could be made to see kings differently. When we claim Jesus Christ as Lord or celebrate Christ the King, we are claiming and celebrating that Jesus has flipped the narrative, deconstructed the hierarchy, and lifted up the lowly. We celebrate his reclaiming for us of power and possibility that will shape our lives and reshape the world around us. To celebrate Christ as King is to recognize our own power and possibility and then choose, reclaim, how we will use it. And so as we make our way through this world around us, we find beautiful instruction in two of our windows today. Let us never forget that God is infinitely bigger than any darkness we will encounter. And just like Jesus did, we will find life for ourselves and for others in the disruption of expectations of power and how we choose to live, love, and serve others. This will share light. Amen.